The giving of our life. 2 Corinthians 8:5. This they did not as we hoped, we would say more than we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And that's the point that I'm emphasizing tonight. And unto us by the will of God. Let me ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let's take the time to read through the context. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and the first six verses. The larger context is that the apostle has been revealed, and the apostle heard that revelation, that the famine was coming in Jerusalem. Of course, he spent a great deal of his early life in Jerusalem, moving from Tarsus, was schooled in Jerusalem. And so this was his, as it were, adopted hometown. Here, of course, the work of Christ was done, the sacrifice was made. And when he heard of the famine, he knew that there were an overpopulation of Jerusalem because of Christians. The thousands that got saved and stayed, though many of them driven out, many of them had returned when peace came. The peace came when Paul got saved. But the need was great. So he is out in the hinterlands working, trying to raise an offering, a relief offering for them. So he now writes to Corinth. They had the means. They were not always focused as they should be in a loving concern. They often turned to self. And they did this in pride. They did this in anger. They did this in a number of things. So he gives them in this passage an example that was amazing to him of somebody else other than those in Corinth. They were in Greece. And he speaks of those in Macedonia, a neighboring area. So he says to them, "Moreover, brethren, I do you to wit, I do you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty," what a mix, joy and poverty, "abounded unto the riches of their liberality." They were liberal, they were gracious in their giving. All right? Then he explains what this was, because he's just said they were in deep poverty. "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." They wanted to do even more than what they could do. "Praying us," well, in this use of the word pray, get the picture of them begging him. Don't bypass us. "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Please let us give to this needy cause. "And this they did, not as we hoped," our text, "but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you," here at Corinth, "the same grace also." The point of this then is this. He said, here is, I'm writing to you, a wealthy people. And I'm telling you about a poverty-stricken people who have just been amazing in their desire and accomplishment to give. So this made me think, I would hate to see you suffer by comparison after you've known a year or so about this offering. As we actually come to collect it, everybody's saying, oh yeah, that offering, that's right, I remember now. What do we have here? And I'm searching for pocket change, you know, in their togas. And so, you know, what he said, this wouldn't be good. I would like for you to be, you know, Paul tells the Galatians, be good in your own work and you can be proud of what you've done. And he says, I'd like for you to be proud of your offering, not ashamed by comparison. So there's our context. As our church grows, we need Christians who are ready to give their own selves to the Lord. This is a day when people are thinking about, I want to go to a church that offers me the most. And there's nothing absolutely wrong in that. It's just that what the church offers primarily ought to be a clarification, an education in the Word of God, therefore building and edifying, perfecting the saints. God has called us to be dedicated disciples. Luke 14:33. Christ says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You can be a Christian, but to be a true follower, that's a different story. To be somebody recognized as under the discipline of Jesus Christ, that's different from the guy who says, yeah, sure, I'm a Christian. Do you think I was a Buddhist? So, this is a message that says, keep nothing back. Consecrate yourself and all that you have to the Lord. How can you give yourself entirely to Him? Well, you know my love of sevens, but this passage implies seven commitments for you to make. And we'll look at those. But before we get to those seven, let's begin by noticing how throughout the Word of God, God urged His people to put Him first. This is an attitude that He tried to inculcate in the Jews before the church began. One of the points that I saw in these passages is that yielding to God is the opposite of stiff-necked rebellion. There's an attitude today that says, don't tell me what to do. Well, when you say that to God, stiff-necked rebellion. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 8. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but, and here's the opposite, yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into His sanctuary, which He has sanctified forever, and serve. Yield yourselves and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of His wrath may turn away from you. The idea of yielding and serving is the opposite of rebellion. A second thought is that yielding to God is the opposite of yielding to sin. That's your choice, day by day, action by action. Yield to sin, the carnal desires taking you to appetites beyond what is necessary. It's the opposite of yielding to sin. We see this in Romans 6:13. Neither yield ye your members. Yielding is turning over the members of your body as weapons. Yielding, neither yield ye your members as instruments or weapons of unrighteousness unto sin, but instead, do the opposite, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, the individual parts of your body, as the instruments of righteousness unto God. You see the opposite picture here? That as you choose to yield to sin, dedicate the members of your body, hands, feet, everything, to sinful activities, you are not yielding to God. Thirdly, we see yielding to God is your reasonable sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. Doing whatever I want, that's whatever I want. To sacrifice that, however, is reasonable. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by what he has done for you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Offer a sacrifice. Not a dead body, but a living body. Your living body. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So does that make sense? Again, yielding to God is an illustration of your connection to Jesus. This isn't a strange, radical concept. This is just saying, this is part and parcel of your connection to Jesus. The apostle wrote about this in Romans 14:7-9. Urging them, he says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. The great poet said, no man is an island unto himself. We affect everybody else all around us, and that affects everybody else in the world. There's a domino effect. None of us lives to himself. No man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Those are the two extremes, you know, life or death. So he says, whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and arose, revived that he might be Lord both of the living and of the dead and the living. So our connection to him involves a yielding. Do it unto him. Again, yielding to God is giving God what is already his. You haven't created anything that he's never seen, and you're going to give that to him as a present. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? He's amazed. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, that you have of God, and ye are not your own. Your very life, your ability to live, is a gift from God. It's a gift. For ye are bought with a price. You're bought and paid for as a Christian. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He says this is a proper concept. You belong to him. And then again, yielding to God recognizes Christ died for you. Again, this is not a radical, fanatic concept here. This is part of being a Christian. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. For the love of Christ constraineth us. It just motivates us. It moves us. Because we thus judge. If one died for all, then we're all dead. He says, why do you think he died for all? Because there weren't good people and bad people, and he was just dying for the bad people. We were all lost. We were all separated from God. We were all dying. Nothing we could do about it. So he died for us. And that he died for all, that for the purpose that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. This is yielding, isn't it? Don't live for yourself, but unto him which died for them and rose again. This recognizes that Christ died for you. And that should be enough. All right. Coming back to our passage then, let's look at the seven commitments that we find in this example of the Macedonians that I think urges us to say, I commit myself to the Lord. The first of them is that we will commit ourselves to God in all our affliction and poverty. We're not waiting until we're a millionaire before we serve the Lord. We're not waiting until we're saying, I don't know, what should we do with all this money? Very likely that situation is not going to happen. 2 Corinthians 8:2, the first part. How that in a great trial, a great testing of affliction, the abundance of their joy, being a Christian, the idea of helping others, and their deep poverty abounded. Great joy, great poverty. What a mix. So true commitment does not wait to see if we're blessed to overflowing before we give. Well, I still could do this, I still could do that. So, like the Macedonians, we are to find what we can do and what we can give, and then give it with all our heart. Julie Cox just sent a message out about what happened today over at Melody Baptist Church. They had a new high of 18 people. And a little boy, Brian, was saying that today was his mother's birthday, and he was hoping to earn some money and get her a present. So Pastor Cox made a deal with him. He said, if you come and join our bell choir, I'll let you go through and pick out one of these handmade handbags for your mother as a gift. And Julie says, of course, he's talking about my group of handbags that she's made. Pastor Cox isn't making many of those. And but you see, there's the thing, how can I use what we have for the sake of a better thing? Contentment, as God teaches it to us, says God will take care of us. He will meet our needs. We can find areas then where we are willing to do without, if perhaps only briefly, so that God can have our time, He can have our money, He can have our talents. The Macedonians were not commanded to give, but they demanded to be included. This is, don't you dare pass by us out of pity for our condition. 2 Corinthians 8:4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take with us as this offering, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. We want to help them just like you do. All right, so we're not going to wait till we're just overflowing. We make the commitment that we are committed to Him even in our poverty, even in our affliction. The second commitment is that we will give our money. This is where, you know, the world says, aha, as soon as you mention money, I know you're after more than some sort of spiritual thing. No, this is really part of it. 2 Corinthians 8:2b, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. This word liberality is literally simplicity. It's just a simple thing we want to give. Not complicated, no strings attached. Riches here means fullness, abundance, plenitude. They had calculated that even in their poverty, they had more than enough to eat and protect themselves from the elements. Liberality, strictly simplicity. Our giving is not a complicated thing. We don't draw up a prenuptial contract about this thing. We give with simplicity. We do not bargain with God. Where people honestly and truly devote themselves to God, they will find no difficulty in contributing something to the cause of love. Now we realize that whatever we use for God or give to Him, it is only giving to Him what is His own. So we're not being extravagantly generous with God. He has provided for us, and where He has provided more than absolutely necessary, let us give. The Macedonians were thinking, we're not in famine. We're not starving. We're not seeing our children wasting away. Poverty, yes. Affliction, yes. But we're not there. So let's give part of what we have for those who are. The third commitment I find in this passage is, we will give our utmost to follow God's will. 2 Corinthians 8:3. Try to wrap your mind around this concept. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Power is the word dunamis. Pastor Porter was telling us about this in Sunday school. This is the power that means ability versus inability. So the idea is that to the extent of what they could do and beyond what they could do. I've seen this. We sometimes call this, faith offering. This is where it doesn't look like you have that much money, but you say, if and as God provides, we will do this. I think the first time we as a married couple did that was when we looked at each other. We were down at the Wilds. We were there when Dr. Hay was just beginning the work, and they had the property and they had the lodge, but nothing else had been built yet. And so they ask us to get on board with that. My wife and I looked at each other and said, well, what do you think we can trust the Lord to give through us? Students not making any money. And it was $100. I can't remember how often we were going to do that. Was that monthly? That seems like a lot.
Not on our salary.
But it was $100, something or other. And we looked at each other like, yeah, sure, that would happen. But we said, we'll just put it before God. If at the end of the period of time, whatever it was, we find that there's $100 we can spare, this goes to them. And we did that. We met the challenge. I say we did it, but it actually wasn't anything we were doing. God just reduced our expenditures and said, Yeah, I would like for you to give to that work. What is your utmost? What is the greatest you could do? Doesn't the Lord deserve that? These Macedonians gave up to their ability and then surpassed it. That's supernatural, you see. We can do no better than this in our life. They dedicated themselves to the work, found that God so blessed that they were able to do beyond what they were able. At least what they recognized they were able. God supernaturally blessed them so that, in fact, they could give more. Might be why God hasn't blessed you. You could do more, but are hedging, keeping it. Fourth commitment I find here, we will do more than is expected. This is the attitude of true service. To do what is expected, to do only what is required, means He told me to do this, and to the letter I'm going to follow that, but no more. And that's not a very profitable. In fact, Christ calls it an unprofitable servant. I said, clean up the room, and so I dusted. Yeah, but you didn't put anything away. You didn't tell me to. Ever hear anything like that? You didn't tell me to. If I have to tell you every single thing to do, I can't give you a goal, I can't ask you to serve with the attitude of pleasing, Pastor Porter was talking about this morning, then you're unprofitable. We will do more than is expected. There's a commitment. 2 Corinthians 8, 5a, and this they did not as we hoped. We had an expectation of what they could do. They went beyond that. The Macedonians gave themselves. It exceeded the expectation of the apostle. John Gill said this, all this was unexpected by the apostles who knew their great affliction and deep poverty and therefore could not have hoped for such a collection from them or that they would have desired the apostle to have ministered it for them. You could have expected them to say, I'm glad there are people who can give, but we just can't. They didn't do that. More than was expected. In fact, it surprised Paul to see such a warm and pious affection in these Macedonians for these foreign Jewish Christians. To see this good work performed with so much devotion, with so much seriousness, they entreated us deeply. Let's be those people that inspire others because we have committed to do more than is just expected. A fifth commitment is we will give ourselves to God first. 2 Corinthians 8:5b, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Commentary, Jameson, Fawcett, Brown, three men that worked together on this, Irish, Scottish, I forget. First, said they say, not intending priority of time, not first chronologically, but first of all, above all in importance. The first thing that was important in their giving was that they were doing this to God. The giving of themselves takes precedency of their other gifts. First, they decided to give themselves to God. That was the most important thing for them, as being the motive which led them to the latter. We will give our money because we've already given ourselves. This is that area that Christ was talking about being a disciple, being a true follower, a person who truly enters into the discipline of Christ. Not just receiving salvation, but pursuing Christ. And he said, you can't be my disciple if you don't love me more than father, mother, brother, sister, father, child, all these things, even your own life also. I had a friend in school that would explain this to people dealing about salvation. He said, can you see why Christ says you have to put me first? Because whatever you say comes before Christ, that's what the devil will use to draw you away. That love, greater than Christ, will lead you astray. So we give ourselves to God first, first in importance. Then, six, we will submit to Jesus in all his offices. 2 Corinthians 8, 5c, gave their own selves to the Lord. Here's the word for master, Lord, the Lord of a servant. And it most generally refers to Jesus Christ. Christ served in his earthly ministry as prophet, priest, and king. And in these we are to give ourselves to Him. To illustrate what I'm talking about, as our prophet, we give ourselves to Him to be taught, to be instructed by Him. The rather common phrase, what would Jesus do? Ask the question, if I were sitting at the feet of Jesus and I told Him of this problem that I had, what would He tell me to do? What did He illustrate the doing? It's really a great way to look at these things. So we give ourselves to Him as our prophet. We give ourselves to Him as our priest, to be washed in His blood, to be justified by His righteousness, to be purified from this world, to be weaned away from this world. Our growing aches and pains, my wife was reminded, it was, I think you said it was Dr. Bob Jr. in chapel that said, young people, I'll tell you about old age. It helps to wean you away from this world. He says, I don't see as well as I used to, don't hear, don't taste, you know, all these things. All the things that I found pleasure in before, not so pleasing now. Begin to long for heaven. And it was more than words. When he came down with the disease that finally took his life, there was a time when he could decide whether he wanted to stay in the hospital and do everything to fight it, or he decided instead, he says, I'm going to go home now. He meant that in a couple of ways, I think. He did come home to his home and stayed there until God took him home. As our priest, we give ourselves to Him. Let Him do with us as He has pleased. And then as our Lord, our Master, as our King, to be ruled by Him and His royal law. The royal law, Christ's half-brother James writes concerning the royal law, the law of the king, love one another. And so we submit to that. We give ourselves to Him. The Macedonians did that, didn't they? They said, we have the opportunity to share God's love with these foreign Jews who are expecting nothing from Gentiles. But we're brothers and sisters with them now. And their need is real, and God has revealed it to us for a reason. We'll do whatever it takes to help them out. So we will give ourselves to God first, to Jesus in all His offices, and finally we will submit to the leaders of the church. Uh-oh. Gone to meddling here. 2 Corinthians 8:5d. Gave their own selves unto us by the will of God. I want you to understand that giving themselves up to the apostles does not signify any surrender to them as lords over God's heritage, which Peter warns the pastors not to be. Some little tin god telling you what to do and what to read and what not to listen to and all these things. I've dealt with people going to churches like that. This is not a submission to tyranny. This is not a submission to arbitrary speaking of these things. What it did signify is that they submitted themselves to their leaders, their spiritual leaders, as Christ's servants. They said, when you speak, you're telling us what God says. Therefore, we will listen to you. We give ourselves to you. We need to value that. They recognized God had set leaders over them in the Lord, and they owned them. They accepted them. They owned them as fathers, instructors, guides, watchmen, protecting, overseers for their spiritual welfare. So they said, as long as they're telling us what God says, we will give ourselves to them. We will put ourselves in their hands. We've given ourselves to God first. We've given ourselves to the Lord who ministered to us. And now in this actual time and space, we give ourselves to the servants of God who are leading us and teaching us through the Word of God. Seven things that we find the commitments made by these remarkable Macedonians. The example comes so true to us when we recognize they weren't flush with money. They're struggling in themselves. Deep poverty, he says, as well as affliction. So this is a commitment that would be unwavering, you see. Now, it's a commitment to do what you can. This isn't a decision to mortgage your home and give all the money to the church because we have a building project or something. I've heard that. Heard that encouraged. This isn't slipping off your wedding ring, putting it in the offering plate so we can sell it and have money. I just really feel icky about that. You have jewels and things that you're not using anymore. Give it to the Lord. Dave will figure out something to do with it. Find some holy fence. give us some money for these things. This is not what we're asking. We're not saying you sacrifice that we can live better. Heaven forbid. But this is a commitment, and one that was honored by God. So let's seek His honor. Let's seek more than what we are. The giving of our very life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Macedonians. We thank You for this example of going over and beyond, literally, beyond what they were able to do. But in this we read Your hand. We read Your supply, Your gift, Your benefit, Your providential withholding of problems, that they had that which they could use then to help others that were even in a more difficult situation than they were. Father, we find from time to time there are missionaries that are going through some deep problems and dealing with people who are going through deep problems. And we feel called, as our church voted to give $25,000 to Melody Baptist Church, because here were people that didn't have money trying to start a church in an area that was so needy that we felt for them. We ask that You might help us to realize that these are things that we can do. These are things that we can understand and that are worthy of our commitment. We pray, Father, that You might help us to learn this concept of selflessness, love to meet the needs, and contentment to say, we have enough, it is sufficient. With heads bowed, eyes closed, perhaps there are those who say, I struggle with this, Pastor. I always see the next thing I can do, the next thing I can buy, the next thing I can wear, that which would help the house, help the family, and so on. Or I could be even writing a check to help those who are in special need. I wonder if that's your prayer and you'd say, that's what I'd like to dedicate to the Lord. I could be like the Macedonians, giving these great seven commitments. Pray for me. Yes, amen. Amen. Father, thank You now for the opportunity to turn to You, to recognize that any sacrifice done for You is worth it in this life, for there will be an eternity of Your giving back to us. Now strengthen us, give us an ideal beyond what we have. Help us to expand our understanding of what we're capable of as we make these seven commitments unto Thee. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.